I was the center of attention. I was the focus of our sport at that time.
You know, I've often thought that I have a platform there and I have a responsibility there.
This is such a cool opportunity. We never get games that are on national television. Like, this is the biggest platform if we'll have one. And I just feel like we could really make a cool statement by doing this.
Welcome to the first episode of Leaders of the Locker Room. This is an Athletes in Action podcast all about stories of influence, and I'm your host, Jenna Leake. We're going to start with a verse from the Bible, Matthew 5:13. It says, "In the same way, let your light shine before others so that they may see your good works and give glory to your Father who is in heaven." Today, we're going to discuss how we can be an influence to our teammates when it comes to matters of social justice on and off the field. The voice you heard at the top of the show was the voice of Breanne Reed, or Bree, a professional soccer player in Denmark and a fellow Christ follower. She grew up in New Jersey and spent her collegiate career at Rutgers University. I had the privilege of speaking to her about leading the first demonstration of athletes in Denmark to kneel during the national anthem. Standing up for what she believed in took courage and did not come as an easy decision.
It was really important to me. But I was worried that it wasn't going to ring as true to my teammates because, like, as a member of the Black community, I saw what was going on and I felt like maybe this was my way to feel connected to the movement being so far away from home. And I explained it to my teammates, but it's really hard for people who aren't from America to really understand what's going on. Like, I asked my teammates, I was like, how much background on Black history did you guys get in school? And they've got like, they learned about Martin Luther King, about the civil rights movement, and a bit more, which I was actually surprised about, but they've never experienced it themselves in the US. So I tried to explain that to them and why this meant so much to me. And they were actually all behind it. And I was a little worried that they weren't going to be, not because I didn't think they cared about racial issues, but in Danish culture, it is seen as like flashy if you do things that are like too much out of the norm. They're very much like everybody kind of stay in your lane and everything will be fine. So to take a stand by kneeling might have been like too much for them, but they were behind me the whole way, and it was really cool.
What Bree was referring to was the Black Lives Matter movement. At the end of May, a video surfaced on the internet and social media showing the murder of George Floyd by a police officer, resulting in outrage across the U.S. Thousands of people's eyes were opened, and they joined in on national protests, awareness, and action. But being in Denmark during this time made Bree feel a little distant.
It's been a weird experience. I've almost felt a little bit disconnected because, like, here in Denmark right now, it's like beautiful. It's summer. People are out and about. Like, you would think coronavirus didn't happen here. People aren't wearing masks anymore. Things are pretty much quote unquote back to normal. And then meanwhile, at home, coronavirus is like still taking over the world. On top of this, we have a lot of racial tension right now. And it just feels like two totally opposite worlds. But I think the most difficult part has been feeling like I'm not getting all of the information, because sure, they're reporting some of it on Danish news, and no, I'm not fluent in Danish, but like I can get the headlines, but it's not the expansive coverage that you get in the US. Most of what I'm learning is through Twitter and Instagram and Facebook. That's been like my news source, and it's weird for that to be my go-to to find out what's going on when there's so much going on at home.
As a response, Bree decided she should kneel, but first wanted to make sure that she had her team's support.
There were little small validations along the way. The first time that conversation came up was with one of the guys who works in the front office of the club, and I was talking to him about everything, and he had mentioned that maybe our men's team was going to kneel. And when he said that, and the way he said it was encouraging, so I was like, okay, so it'd be okay if we did that. And that was my first little validation. And then I went to one of my other teammates. I just started with one, and I was like, so I have this idea. Like, how would you feel and how do you think the team would feel about kneeling? And she was all for it. And then I had the captain of our team ask everybody at training, and they were all for it. And then one of the girls suggested, they're like, in order for it to seem totally unified, why don't we ask the other team to kneel with us? We'll explain why. And the club we played was actually my old coach's former club. So he had connections and ties with a lot of the girls there. And one of the girls on our team spoke with them. And when I heard that they were willing to do it too, I was like, this is just going to be so cool.
That's amazing. She not only got her teammates okay, but they joined her. Along with the opposing team, her influence stretched far and beyond what she could have imagined.
I was really shocked. The journalist who actually wrote the piece that you read was the one who messaged me the next day. He was like, I don't know if you know this, but you guys just made history being the first athletes in Denmark to ever kneel or take a stand for something like that. And like, I have chills right now just thinking about it. But it's such a simple act, but I was nervous about how it would be perceived because I saw the way America reacted when Colin Kaepernick took a knee and took mm-hmm. a knee. And I've been here a year and a half, but I still just didn't know. This game was also nationally televised, so I did not know how the rest of Denmark was going to perceive this.
Mm-hmm.
So I was very nervous about it. But how do I explain it? Like, I was nervous, but not enough to continue to go through because I was like, this is such a cool opportunity. We never get games that are on national television. Like, this is the biggest platform if we'll have one. And I just feel like we could really make a cool statement by doing this.
We've seen a shift in how the United States views kneeling before competition. June 26th, the National Women's Soccer League, or NWSL, was the first American sports league to resume play, and we saw similar demonstrations to Breeze across the league. A picture of Chicago Red Stars teammates Julie Ertz and Casey Short crying together while kneeling went viral. That image just reminded me of Romans 12:15, "Rejoice with those who rejoice and weep with those who weep." In this passage, Paul lists what qualities should be evident in a Christian, and I think it's important as believers that we remember this. I asked Bree what she thought the Christian's role was in this push for social change.
It's a question that I've thought about a lot recently, only in the past probably 3 weeks or so.
Mm-hmm.
And I've gone back and forth a lot because I've read so many people's opinions and ideas that sometimes it's just overwhelming. But when I finally sat down and thought about what I think, I think right now, we need two things, action and then love. I don't think words so much need to be said right now. I think there's a whole bunch of people talking. And as Christians, I know people are quick to fight back and like call us hypocrites and all sorts of things. So I don't think we need to say anything. I think we need to do our part as we are called to love people and just show them that. And like actually act out all of these things that we have been taught and that we read in the Bible and that Jesus teaches us. Like, now is the time to put it into action. Love your neighbor as yourself. Okay, do that. Show that. I think that's going to be more effective right now than trying to explain yourself to the whole public Twitter sphere and Instagram world.
After listening to Bree's awesome story, you may be thinking, how can I use my influence to be part of the solution in regards to social justice? I asked the same thing, and here's what Bree told me.
I feel like there's two sides to it, because I feel like there is the Black and people of color side, and then what non-Black people and people not of color can do. And personally, I would really like to see people who aren't of color be the ones to take the step and be the ones to like make that stand. Because I've just felt like I've done my part, but like I'd really love to see support and know that people actually are listening and caring and trying to educate. and see them step up. And I know a lot of people will say like, oh, this isn't your place right now. Like, just sit back and listen. And like I said, you can't please everybody. But from my stand, I think having people who aren't of color, who are genuine in their heart and wanting to reconcile racially, having those people step up and kind of lead the way, I think that would be really impactful.
Special thanks to Bree for taking the time to tell her story. Speaking with Bree left me with a lot to think about in my own life, and I hope listening to this episode has done the same for you. Here are some themes I took away from my conversation with Bree. First is love. You heard Bree talking about how she believes Christians are called to love during these types of situations. 1 John 4, 19-21 says, "We love because he first loved us. If anyone says, 'I love God,' and hates his brother, he is a liar. For he who does not love his brother, whom he has seen, cannot love God, who he has not seen. And this commandment we have from him, whoever loves God must also love his brother." It is so important to think about how Jesus would be dealing with all the things that are going on in our country. There are multiple examples in the Bible of how he showed love and compassion to all. Another component I noticed was the importance of explaining the why. For Bree, that meant explaining to her teammates why kneeling was important to her. In turn, that was received well and her teammates joined her. Sometimes people just need to understand your thought process before providing their full support. That is one thing I've learned. Having conversations is important. My final takeaway is that we should be fleshing out what we believe. In the age of social media, we are constantly inundated with information, especially on places like Twitter, where the whole purpose of the app is to give people a platform to voice their thoughts. Bree talked about how social media was the only way she was getting her news. She also told me that journaling was something she did that helped her figure out what she thought and how she felt. Privately writing out what's going on in your head can provide some silence from the noise of social media. If you want to learn more about Bree's story, you can do so on athletesinaction.org. She wrote an article called "Taking a Stand on Game Day." Be sure to check it out. Also, if you'd like to sign up to get more resources, click over to athletesinaction.org/subscribe. Or to receive free daily devotionals, text the word PLAYBOOK to 775-204-0404. To close out this week's episode of the Leaders of the Locker Room podcast, I want to thank associate producer Harrison Sillings and everyone at AIA who contributed to making this podcast happen. If you or an athlete you know have a story of influence you'd like to share, reach out to us on social media. On Instagram, it's @athletesinaction. And Twitter, it's @AIAUSA. Talk to you guys next time as we continue to explore how to use our influence for Christ.